In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 13, the Lord, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, cries out to the nation of Israel as a one whom his mother comforts, so I comfort you. It's very interesting that the Lord likens true comfort to the relationship of a mother and her child. There is nothing like the bond that a mother and her child have. There is no one on this side of heaven who, except for God himself, who loves you and who cares for you like your mother. And today I just wanted to begin by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of the women here in our congregation. If you have a mother, tell them that you love them, tell them that you appreciate them. They are a huge, tremendous blessing that God has given us. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we will begin today. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open up to 1 Samuel, the first chapter. Nothing that I say this morning is going to come from Tim. It's all going to come from the Word of God. And so if you want to follow along and hear what the Lord has to say to us, get a Bible and find 1 Samuel, the first chapter. That's where we'll get started. Has anyone ever had the wrong impression of you? They've thought something about you that just wasn't true. This reminds me of something that happened to me a few years ago. Nick Angel was in town visiting one Wednesday night. And after church, me, Nick, and a group of people, we all went out to the YMCA to play basketball. And teams were selected and captains were picked. Nick was one of the captains, and I was his first pick. And I was pretty thrilled at this. I didn't really think that I would get picked first, but I did. And so, to make a long story short, we start playing, and our team lost horribly, and it was all my fault. And if you know anything about Nick, he hates losing because he is a winner. And so he's very, very upset with me. And it later comes out that the only reason that he picked me to be on his team is because I'm black, and he assumed that I was good at basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a problem. I suffer from a problem. I have BCPB. I am black and can't play basketball. I have a problem, and Nick doesn't fail to remind me about this problem. Anytime I'm around him, he brings up the fact that I cannot play basketball. That is my problem. This morning, I'm reminded of a woman who had a problem. This was a very, very serious problem. She grieved over this problem. She was sorrowful over this problem, and she was constantly reminded day after day after day, year after year after year, about this problem that she was faced with. I'm thinking about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says that there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophimim of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah. And in verse 2 it says, Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons, plural, and daughters, plural. Verse 5, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see here that Hannah has a problem. Hannah was not able to have any children. The Lord had closed her womb. Hannah was a barren woman, and being barren during this time was not something that any woman wanted to be. People who were barren were seen as insignificant. They were seen as useless. They were seen as less of a person. Some people even believed that barren women were cursed by God. And this reminds me of Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we know that Elizabeth was a barren woman who finally had her womb open, and she cries out to the Lord and thanks, saying that the Lord has removed her disgrace from among her. Elizabeth considered her barrenness as a disgrace. And so can you imagine how Hannah must have felt? Hannah is living in this household where she is sharing wife responsibilities with this other woman, Penina, who is giving her husband all of these sons and all of these daughters, and Hannah cannot give her husband anything. She feels useless. She feels worthless. She is barren. She is sorrowful. And to make matters worse, not only is Hannah barren, but she is constantly being reminded of her insignificance in this household. She is being constantly reminded of the problem that she has. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible continues to say, and her rival, Penina, this other woman is described as Hannah's rival. Can you imagine living in a household with someone who is considered to be your rival? Her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. What an awful thing to do. Verse 7, so it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Hannah, Penina, and Elkanah are all going up to the house of the Lord year by year to worship God. This is a time when they were supposed to be the most spiritually nourished, the most spiritually satisfied and strong. But Hannah cannot be spiritually nourished. She's being spiritually malnourished during this time because this other woman, Penina, is constantly berating her, irritating her, and provoking her to the point of tears. And so we see here that Hannah is very, very sorrowful. And her husband, Elkanah, tries to comfort her. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Can't I satisfy you? Aren't I enough? Can't I comfort you, Hannah? No, he could not comfort her. She is constantly being picked on and berated by this other woman, Penina. Her husband can't comfort her. Hannah can't comfort herself. And so she has hit rock bottom. What does she do when she hits rock bottom? She remembers that there is a God in heaven who loves her. There is a God in heaven who cares about her. There is a God in heaven who sees her value. And she seeks the Lord. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, after her husband is not able to comfort her, the Bible says, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10, Hannah was deeply distressed. And what did she do? What did she do in her sorrowful situation? She prayed to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is a God of all comfort. She prayed to the Lord and she wept bitterly. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Hannah cries out to God, God, please listen to me. Please help me. I am afflicted. I am sorrowful. I am in anguish. Please remember me. Please open up my womb and bless me with a son. If you'll just bless me with a son, I'll give him back to you. I will give him back to you as a living sacrifice forever. Oh, what a request that was. Oh, what a vow that would be. That would be very, very difficult to have a child and then give that child back to the Lord as a living sacrifice to serve God in the temple all of the days of his life. And so this is the vow Hannah has made. Hannah continues to pray. She is, as verse 12 says, speaking in her heart. She's pouring out her heart to God in anguish and in distress. And this man, remember, this priest Eli is watching her. And he sees Hannah praying so fervently. She's moving her mouth, but nothing is coming out. And he perceives her to be a drunken woman. And he says, woman, put away your wine. And she says, I am not drunk. Verse 15, I am troubled in spirit. I am pouring out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, she says, do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. She's pouring out her heart to God. She's troubled in spirit. She sought God in her time of distress. And then verse 17, the Bible says that Eli answered her and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way. She went back to the household where Peninnah was, who was constantly irritating her. It says Hannah went her way. She went back to her household where she was in a place where her husband was not able to comfort her. She went her way. She went her way back to her household where she was still barren. She went her way in the same situation she was in before she made this prayer. She went her way, but her face was no longer sad. She's still in the same situation, but guess what? Her face is no longer sad. Why? Because when she was sorrowful, she recognized that there was a God in heaven who cared about her. And when she was sorrowful, she sought God in prayer. And after the prayer, she is confident that God is going to take care of the situation. God is going to work things out in His own time. God is going to work things according to His will. She had a tremendous display of faith, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what happened? The Lord opens up her womb and she's able to conceive a child. Verse number 19. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. And guess what happened? The Lord remembered her. Why did the Lord remember her? Because she poured out her heart to God. Because she sought God with a whole heart. Because she told God all of her needs and her wants. And the Lord remembered her. And verse 20, and in due time, in God's time, according to His will, in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Hannah was in a very, very sorrowful and sad situation. She sought God in prayer. The Lord blesses her with this son. And now it's time for her to make a sacrifice. Remember in her prayer, she said, Lord, if you just bless me with a son, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you and he'll serve in the temple all of the days of his life. Now she has to fulfill that vow. If you remember Elkanah and his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, they used to make this yearly trek up to Shiloh to offer sacrifices and worship the Lord. They make this yearly trek. Some time has elapsed. Hannah has raised this son of hers, Samuel. Hannah has weaned this son of her, Samuel. And now the time has come where she must fulfill this vow and give him up as a living sacrifice to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 24. The Bible says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. Verse 27, for this child I prayed and the Lord has granted me my petition. The Lord has answered my prayers. The Lord has blessed me with the child. Therefore, verse 28, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord there. That would be a very, very, very difficult thing for any woman to do. She has been picked on her whole life because she is barren. She prays to God and asks the Lord to bless her with a child. The Lord gives her a child. She raises this child. She weans this child. She falls in love with this child. And then she has to give the child away. That would be a tough thing to do. Most women would not want to do a thing like that. They would be upset with God for making them fulfill that type of vow. But Hannah does it willingly. Hannah does it in a spirit of joy. She gives her son as a living sacrifice to God, happily. And she praises God. She sings a song. This woman has gone from a state of sorrow to a point where she can sing a song. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. Hannah sings this song. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides all my enemies. Because why? I rejoice in your salvation. Verse 2, there is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Verse 6, the Lord kills and he brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes the poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. Hannah is able to praise God even though she has given her only son as a living sacrifice to the Lord. We see here in this passage how a woman has gone from a state of sorrow to a point in her life where she is able to sing a song. Ladies and gentlemen, I am confident that all of us here this morning, at some point or another in our lives, have been in a state of sorrow. At some point in our lives, all of us have been in distress. We have been in the pits. We have been troubled. We have been embittered. Perhaps, like Hannah, you have felt like you are worthless. You have felt insignificant. You feel like you can't make a difference in this world. You feel like you can't make a difference in society, at work, at school, at home, perhaps even in the church. And you are daily comparing yourself to everyone around you, people at work, people at home, people on Facebook, people on Instagram. You're comparing yourself and you see how wonderful they are and how successful they are, but you look at your own life and you say, oh, I'm not as good as they are. I am nothing. And that can put us in the pits when we have that type of attitude. We feel hopeless. We feel worthless. We feel useless, just like Hannah did. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this morning, when we are in that sorrowful state, when we think that we are nothing, remember that God has fearfully and wonderfully created each and every one of you. God cares about you. You are valuable in the sight of God. I love what King David cries out in Psalm 139 around verse number 13. He says, Lord, you have formed my inward parts. You have knitted me together in my mother's womb. That is a very intimate and a special thing. The Lord has knitted us together in our mother's womb. And David is able to say that he praises God, for he is what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, wonderful are your works, O Lord. We are a work of God. We are wonderful. And David knew that. He says, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, God intricately wove each and every one of us. We have this special, personal, intimate relationship with Him. He intricately wove each and every one of us in the depths of the earth, and His eyes saw each and every one of our unformed substance. And in His book were written the days that were numbered for each and every one of us, when as yet there were none. God cares about us. We are valuable in the eyes of God. We have all been created in the image of God. God's handprints are all over us. There is something about you that is like God. We are made in the likeness of God. And so, if people in the world seem to be so superior and better than you, if everyone in the world rejects you and hates you, if you feel worthless and left out, if you are trying to serve the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it doesn't matter how great everyone else in the world is or what people in the world think about you, because God is on your side. God made you. God cares for you. And you are valuable in His eyes. And Hannah was able to recognize that. When we're in a state of sorrow, recognize that God loves you, God cares for you, and you are valuable to Him. Secondly, when we're in a state of sorrow, recognize that God is standing up in heaven with His arms outstretched, waiting on you to simply seek Him and pour out your heart to Him. That's what Hannah did. Her husband wasn't able to comfort her. Are not better than 10 sons? Ladies and gentlemen, this world is not going to be able to comfort us like God can. Our family can't comfort us like God can. Work can't comfort us like God can. School, education, hobbies, nothing in this world will be able to comfort us like God can. Solomon tries to find comfort and satisfaction in all the things of this world, and he says it's simply grasping after the wind. Find comfort in God. In times of distress, when we are sorrowful, seek God. Pour out your heart to God. Pursue God like you pursued your spouse when you first met them. Talk to God. Talk to God like you talk to your best friend. Study and meditate and read His Word like you prepare for a test. We need to have this intimate, special relationship with the Lord. Seek the Lord with a whole heart and you will find Him. And He will give you all of the desires of your heart. And when the Lord blesses us with all that He has given us, He blesses us with so much each and every day. He blessed us so abundantly that he saw the need to send His only begotten Son to this messed up, crooked, decrepit, twisted world to come in the form of a man. And Christ, His Son, offered His life as a living sacrifice for us. He has blessed us in that way. And so since He has blessed us in that way, we must offer our very lives as a living sacrifice to him. Just like Hannah. Hannah was blessed with this child, and she offered her child as a living sacrifice to God. God has blessed us all with life and breath and all things good, and so let's offer our lives as a living sacrifice to him. I love what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, if you want to open up there, Paul refers to this very thing. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies as a living sacrifice. How does this look? It is holy and it is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which is your reasonable service, which is the least we can do. God has blessed us with so much, and so the least we can do is offer our very lives as a living sacrifice to him. Take up our crosses, our death instruments, what? Daily, and serve the Lord. We're going to live our lives according to his will. We're going to live our lives according to his desires, his wants. We're going to try to please him and serve him in all things. We're going to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Why? Because he's already done so much for us. And we're not going to do this in a woe is me type attitude. We're not going to do this because we feel like we're forced to do it. We're not going to do it grudgingly. We're going to do it joyfully. We're going to do it willfully. Just like Hannah. Hannah gave her son as a living sacrifice willfully. That's how we're going to serve the Lord. And when people out in the world see how we always have joy in our heart, when they see how we're always satisfied, when they see that we love other people so much, when they see that we have this intimate relationship with the Lord, when they see, despite what happens in our life, all the curveballs that are thrown our way, when they see how we are always so joyful and happy during all of these things, they're going to say, look and see how great Steve Jones is. And Steve Jones is going to say, no, look and see how great and awesome my God is. Ladies and gentlemen, we give our lives as a living sacrifice to God. God is magnified. God, the greatness and the awesome nature of God is magnified. And that is how we truly make a difference in this world. That's something special, and that gives us all reason to sing a song, just like Hannah. That gives us all reason to cry out like the psalmist did in Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. My praises will continually be on my lips. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all. We all have reason to praise. We all have reason to thank God. We all have reason to sing a song because the Lord has done so much for us. The Lord not only blessed Hannah with this son, Samuel, who became one of the first judges and who ultimately established the kingdom of Israel, which would bring Jesus Christ the Messiah into this earth. God didn't only bless Hannah with such a son as that, but because of her faithfulness, because of her willingness to pour out her heart to God, because of that great sacrifice that she made, the Lord blessed her with three more sons and two daughters. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 21. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. Here in this story of Hannah, we see how a mother has gone from a state of sorrow to a point where she can sing a song. And hopefully all of us can learn something today about how to go from states of sorrow to a place where we can sing a song and praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are so happy and impressed with all of your wonderful works. We are so touched by the fact that you look upon each and every one of us and have given us life and breath and all things good. We're so thankful for mothers. We're so thankful for this mother, Hannah, that we spoke of today. We're thankful for her grace and her diligence and her persistence and her humility to do all that she could do to simply have a son. We thank you for the sacrifice that she made and the example that it shows us to be people who have a sacrificial mindset in our own lives. We're ultimately thankful for the sacrifice that you made by sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. We pray that we can live lives that show thanks and appreciation to that awesome sacrifice. We pray that we can always praise you and go about our lives serving others and serving this community and building up the kingdom of God. We thank you for blessing us with this great work here at North Hicks, and we pray that every single thing that we do can be for your glory. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you are a child of God, but the things and the cares and the worries of this world have gotten you off course and you have begun living your life for self and not for God, then please come back today. Please come back and give your life as a living sacrifice to God. If you are not a Christian, if you've never obeyed the gospel, the simple gospel laid out in Scripture, please do that today. You do that by belief, confession, repentance, and being fully immersed in water, rising up, walking in newness of life, being a child of God. If we can help you in any spiritual way this morning, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.